We have an interesting gospel today, do we not? We see Jesus' anger as he indicates that there are things going on in this holy place that are not appropriate. And we might be tempted to only look at one aspect of that action of Jesus because of the words that St. John uses in the gospel, saying, you can't turn this place into a marketplace. In other words, a lack of respect for the place, for the building, for all that goes on there. But that's only half the story, one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that there was an abuse not only of the place, but of the people. We know that those who were selling the doves and all of these animals for sacrifice were milking the people. They were charging them all kinds of fees that went beyond what was appropriate, but they knew that the law indicated that there had to be sacrifice at the temple, and the people were obligated. And so they were manipulated. And so when Jesus expresses his anger, he expresses his anger not only because of the respect for the place, or lack of respect for the place, but a lack of respect for the people. Because that is one of the reasons the temple actually exists. Well, look at this temple, this beautiful place. It is an absolutely gorgeous church, is it not? Would this church then be appropriate to say that the purpose of this church is to give glory to God? Would you agree with that? Yes. Would you agree with that if the place was empty, if there was nobody here, and we could say and look at this as a museum almost and say, what a beautiful tribute to God. Would that be giving God the highest glory that this place could give? No. Because the beauty of this temple is only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin I'm looking at right now. When we were baptized, we were very clearly indicated that we were temples of the Holy Spirit. Very clearly indicating that the dwelling place for God is not simply in a building. The dwelling place for God is within us. And we come to this beautiful place, the purpose of which is to raise our spirits so that we can communicate with God on a deeper level, but also for the Spirit of God to infuse within us through the beauty and magnificence of this place and all that goes on within this place, but should never stay within this place, which should go with us as we leave through the doors of this building. The purpose of this building is to inspire us for a deeper intimacy with God and a deeper commitment to go forth and proclaim the kingdom of God outside of here. This is what we might call the well. This place is where things happen that give us all of the inspiration, the enthusiasm, all that is possible for us to have, that we might be able to be effective to do what Jesus asks us to do. He says, go forth and baptize all nations. Go forth and spread the magnificence of God's love. And he gives us all kinds of tools, all kinds of assistance to do that. The building should be a beautiful place. What happens in the building should be beautiful and inspiring and magnificent and to the best of what we can offer to God. And the sacraments that are celebrated here also give us additional tools, especially Eucharist, which gives us nourishment, which gives us all kinds of what we might call spiritual advantages to go forth and to do what God asks of us. You and I know that without proper food for our bodies, we can't do what our bodies are necessary for us to do. Without spiritual food, the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus, we can't go forward and do what he asks of us to do. But also other ways in which the sacraments enlighten and inspire us. Baptism and confirmation, where the Holy Spirit actually dwells within us, brings us all kinds of wonderful gifts. The sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick to bring healing and strength in those times when either we fail or our bodies fail, our spiritual lives fail, and we are in this place reinvented, so to speak, so that we might indeed go forth. And then to celebrate God's vocations to us, marriage, holy orders. That's what this place and any temple constructed for God's glory is meant to do. But sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to bring the beauty and the magnificence of a place together in an appropriate time, so to speak. We hear in our first reading today from 2 Chronicles, it took 46 years for the temple to be built. Not so bad, 46 years, considering some of the other temples in the world, even contemporary temples, take a little longer. Any of you been to Sagrada Familia in Barcelona? Over 150 years, it's still not finished. The Church of St. John the Divine in New York City, well over 100 years, still not finished. A little closer to home, in Charleston, Cathedral of St. John the Baptist, finally finished after 100 years. And here it is, 9 years, and you're 90% finished. You might say, oh my goodness, 90%. What else is there to do? Look at what's been done, the magnificence of the building, the beauty of the windows, the wonderful artwork done by parishioners in the parish that line the walls. A beautiful shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe. What more needs to be done? Well, there could be a couple of things. Obviously, today we're celebrating these magnificent tapestries done through the hard work and commitment of all of these women who have created these tapestries, again, to help raise our spirits, to raise our enthusiasm, to raise our devotion. Is there anything else that needs to be done here in this place? Well, Father Wilson said you could add a couple more bells in your tower. That might help. I look around and I say, my goodness, you know, those windows on the top, there's no stained glass in them. Is there more that can be done? Yeah. But in 9 years, look at what has happened. Over 150 years, Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. My goodness, I wonder if that church is ever going to be finished. But did that stop the people from worshiping in that place, from using it as this vehicle that God wanted it to be used? St. John the Divine in New York City has been used for over 100 years in unfinished condition. Our own cathedral in Charleston for over 100 years, celebrating God's glory until it was finally finished. Finished, by the way, by the former pastor of this parish, Father Greg Wilson, who finally had the steeple when I arrived in Charleston, blessing a steeple and bells, and that cathedral in Charleston was finally finished. But whether it's completed, whether you look around and say there's more to do, that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is what has to be done with this side of the coin. What has to be finished in these temples of the Holy Spirit? And for each one of us, it's different. What in our own lives needs to be completed, to be celebrated, to be purged, to be repaired? And maybe a celebration like this can cause us to reflect, what needs to be done with these temples? What has to happen so that these temples can give the greatest possible glory to God that is possible for us? And that would be effectiveness in helping to build up the kingdom of God in a world that needs it so absolutely desperately. Our world is in chaos. I don't need to tell you that. You know it. And it's in chaos everywhere. Even in the holiest of places, the places where Jesus walked, in Israel, Palestine, is there not a need for the kingdom of God to be made more real there? But not only there, look at our own country. The violence, the manipulation, the greed, the dishonesty, and perhaps so many of those things even part of our own communities and families in some cases. There's still much work to be done in these temples. But we come here today perhaps to be inspired by looking at the beauty of this temple and saying very, very clearly that it inspires us to do something with these temples. A couple of weeks, next week, we enter the holy season of Lent, a time when the church invites us, look at the temple of yourself, this temple of the Holy Spirit, and can we make it stronger, more beautiful, perhaps as beautiful as this place is. And we give thanks to all who have made this place beautiful, especially all of these women who have done these magnificent, beautiful tapestries, which will be in this church for God knows how many years, indicating to people that this is another manifestation of the glory of God. And as beautiful as they are, they're meant to inspire us to come and be as beautiful as they. Congratulations, 9th anniversary, folks. Congratulations for whatever anniversary of the building of your own temples in God's grace.